This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the IDN Guidelines Working Group call on 11th of January 2018. We have Edmund, Carl, Dennis, Pitinan, and Samad on the call. So over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, Samad, and thank you everyone for joining. Happy New Year. Yes, we have, in terms of process, we're looking at three documents to go through and to finalize our guidelines. Please correct me, Ahmad, but I guess we have the summary of the comments from the public comment period. We have the letter from the board IDN working group, and also the ESSAC letter. So I guess those are the three things that we need to go through to finalize the guidelines.
Yes.
Is that correct? All right. So with that, I guess the question is which one we go first, and I don't know. I see this document, Samad, you posted here. This is the public comment one. I don't suppose it incorporates the two other letters received.
Right. I appended the board feedback at the end of this document so that we don't have to switch documents. But the ESSAC report is not something which I've included here yet.
The report or the specific response to our question?
Right. It's actually published as an ESSAC advisory.
Okay. Got it. So I guess we'll go through this document first and then circle back to the ESSAC one. Is that the plan?
Sure, we can
Does that work that way.
Yeah.
Anyone have any thoughts, or should we? Is there any need to prioritize anything else? If not, why don't we? I guess Samad, if you can help us walk through the summary of the public comments.
Okay, so thank you, Edmund. Just to summarize, we did receive quite a few comments. From the organizational side, we got input from URED, JPRS, ICANN Business Constituency, Registry Stakeholder Group, and Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. From individuals, we got input from Dusan, John Gutierrez, and Anton. I'm not going to try to attempt to say the last name. But in any case, let me go through the comments. First, the organizational, the comments from the different organizations. Okay, so let's see. Starting with URED, URED states that it actually gave some background that it has actually been working on IDNs since 2009, and it is also running the TLD for EU in Cyrillic, and has been publishing IDN reports. Based on that, it is actually responding to one of the guidelines, which says that the IDN community should come together and form consortium to address common current and emerging challenges in the development and use of IDNs. And the first comment is URED saying that URED looks forward to engaging in this particular consortium. The second comment from URED is this enumeration is done by me. Obviously, these comments normally come in paragraph format. So this is a summary. Please obviously feel free to go to the original comments to get the details out. The second comment from Jurid is that Jurid suggests that any consortium or forum about IDNs be as inclusive of various stakeholders in the domain chain, including registrars, registrants, for a more sound perception of the challenges around IDNs. So that's their couple of points of feedback. Would you want to discuss these, or how would you want me to, or would you want me to go through the rest of them as well?
No, I guess let's go organization by organization. Basically, you've summarized 2 points and their own background as well. I don't think we need to discuss about the background. The only thing it seems that fall from the point one and two is whether in the guidelines we should point towards any the creation of these kind of forums. I think the currently, of course, the guidelines are silent on that. Asama, remind me whether there were other comments similar, because I forgot. I read them through in the last little while.
The only comment pertaining to this actually came from Board IDN Working Group, and I'm going to scroll down to it. And let's see. So I remember there was a discussion around it within Board IDN Working Group. So if you look at Guideline 7, Guideline 7 included, I'm reading this out just because Dennis is not able to see this. On Guideline 7 included from the previous version, BIWG noted that there has been insufficient collaboration in the area by the community, as has been asked by this guideline. Given the history, it was questioned if the potential of such collaboration, if there is any potential for such collaboration in the future, and if it is not anticipated, whether this guideline be included. So the BIWG was asking that if the guideline is there, then there should be some action associated with it. The guideline has been there for a while, but there's apparently been visible action outside. In that context, the URID comment is, quite opportune, where it provides at least a starting point to start that discussion.
Thank you so much. So what do people think? I guess my immediate reaction to this is seems like that probably within the guidelines, it seems weird for us to point to any creation of groups or something. But maybe when we find the guidelines and send it to the board, in our correspondence, we can kind of highlight this. I see Cal's hand up. Cal?
Yeah, thanks, Edmund. And I was going to say something, in a similar vein. I think the second comment from URID is something that when setting up one of these consortiums or forums, you would consider as part of their charter or their rules of engagement. And that's not the sort of thing I would want to codify within the guidelines. The board comments related to the consortiums and forums, it troubled me a little bit because I'm not convinced that we are all assessing the success or the purpose of the consortiums in the same way. I don't think we need constant forums for all languages, for example. I think they're an as-needs event, and that would be very specific to the language. On those occasions where there might be an underserved language that is simply not getting the attention or the expertise that it might need, that's probably a time when ICANN can step in and maybe create a forum rather than leaving it to a registry operator that may not have the resources to do so. But I think dictating that or trying to predict the circumstances under which that would happen is going to make the guidelines either very complicated or very restrictive, and probably both. So I'm with you. I think just some a general recommendation to the board to consider your second point and to consider when a forum should actually be created for a particular language group.
Thank you, Cal. Yeah, I think that probably makes sense. And Samad, I see your hand up. Just one note. And we don't need to finalize anything correspondence to the board at this point, but I think we can add it and probably to the root LGR work that is being done, although, you know, we shouldn't make it definitive, but I'm with you, Cal, that I see the board idea and working group comment, but I'm not sure I'm completely convinced with that response, although I don't think we need to, I guess, argue with it or weigh in at that point, on that point. Samad?
Yes, thank you. So I guess just from a discussion perspective, the board IDN working group, I guess, was looking at the recommendation, which actually probably calls for a much broader, I guess, collaboration the way it's written, saying, so I'm reading the guideline 7, which says basically establish global fora to address common current and emerging challenges in the development and use of IDNs. So you know, this goes into a lot of other things beyond just language tables and some of these specific things. So I guess what URID is suggesting is probably going in that direction. There obviously has been a lot of work, a lot of input from the community, for example, through the generation panels for the Root Zone LGR. There are obviously some other initiatives, but I guess this one's more suggestive of the community actually sort of trying to drive something which is more holistic, perhaps. Thank you.
Thank you, Samad. I wonder if others have comment on this, but I wasn't sure that we were thinking of making a suggestion for that to happen. If that's the case, I'm not against it. If that's not the case, we might want to put a note there as we revise the final wording to avoid making that assertion. I don't mind that being the case, but I had thought that we would depend on existing things, and if those things happen, those are great forms to help weigh in on those issues. But Cal, I see your hand up.
Yeah, in relation to what I had in mind in that section, I guess we might have each perceived that section slightly differently, but to my mind, it was a recommendation to TLDs to registry operators to participate in forums so that they don't, I guess, veer wildly from what would be considered the norm. I didn't see it as an obligation to create or to join a consortium, though. And if there was no consortium, I wouldn't consider that to be a failure on the part of the registry operator. It's really a suggestion that how they could better serve their registrants, but there's no guarantee that consortium will in fact better serve their registrants if there's no purpose to it. So we might end up, if it's a strict obligation, we might end up with an obligation that serves almost no purpose. I think it makes sense in some circumstances, and in those circumstances, registry operators should get together in a forum to discuss common concerns, especially around single languages. But I didn't envisage anything that was strict or that somehow suggested that a failure to create one is a failure or a compliance issue for the registry operator. So if that's the way it's being interpreted, I think we should potentially add some more text that either we remove it entirely or we add some more text that says that it's very much on an as-needs basis.
Thank you, Cal. I think I'm entirely with you in agreement, and that was, as I recall, that was the intent. But we don't have Matt here. I hope that he could weigh in. But I wonder if Dennis, or I don't know whether you have others join, have any thoughts on that? Nope. On the road, but let's put a marker in the in guideline 7 on this. An immediate response is we'll take those the comments in. I don't think we need to create any forums, nor do we intend for a forum to be created as such. We'll need to look at the wording itself to make sure we don't accidentally make that a requirement. Does that make sense? Okay, hearing no objection to it, let's move on to the next one. Soma?
Okay. So before we move on to the next one, just a small point are we going to come back and discuss specific responses to these comments at a later stage and we just go through and do an initial discussion at this time, or would we also want to discuss how to respond to these comments, for example, URID 1 and 2 at this time? How would you like to proceed?
Good point. If I recall properly, last time we kind of have a draft response, which you, somewhat you have helped us craft on the discussion, and we then use that to to edit the document. Let's try to do the same. Does that make sense? Or did
sure,
I?
Sure, that's. That was fine, but in that context as well, actually, so for example, just based on this discussion, I guess what I was thinking was what would be the response to URID from IDN Guidelines Working Group generally? You know, what are we going to say? Are we going to say, for example, just thank you and the suggestion has been passed on to the board? Or I wasn't sure how we would want to respond to this on behalf of the guidelines working group. Or
sure.
We can always come back to it and discuss this later if you think that's more feasible.
No, I think let's do it as we go along. Here's what I have in mind. I see Cal, you have your hand up, but just quickly, I guess, we thank them for their input. We agree with their input if any kind of forum is formed that different stakeholders should be involved, and we should also clarify. And this clarification point we need to come back after, especially if Vats and others can weigh in. But clarify that we don't intend for, the guidelines does not create an intent for a Uber forum to be formed, but we have passed the comment to the board, and But we agree that if such forms are performed, then those different stakeholders should be involved, and we welcome them to continue to keep an eye out and join them. That would be kind of what I think. Cal, you had your hand up.
Thanks, Edmund. I was just going to make the comment that if I guess it just depends on what we plan on sending to the board as to what we would specifically reply to URID with, if we were going to advise the board to consider creating forums on behalf of registry operators on an as-needs basis, then and we were going to make some recommendations regarding the possible charter of those forums, then we could reply to URID and say that their advice regarding inclusivity of multiple stakeholders has just been passed on to the board. So I was just thinking that if we were going to reply, and if that reply was sort of conditional on information that we was going to forward to the board, then perhaps we'd want to clarify what we are going to say to the board first before we reply to URID. Otherwise, we might be left making a fairly simple reply that's not complete.
Thank you, Cal. Yeah. So let's think through this a little bit more. I hope Dennis can hear us and if he can weigh in. So perhaps what we should do is, the guidelines themselves might need to tighten the wording, but in our correspondence to the board, and probably in response to their note, to suggest that I can be, stand ready to facilitate or to be a platform so that such form could be formed if and when it needs to be formed. But if and when it is formed, then to take URID's URID's comment into consideration. That probably should cover what we need to include. There, she's now agreeing. Does that give you enough, Somat?
Sure. So a couple of things. We are tightening the text of the guidelines in the context that this is not a sort of a standing kind of group, but would be formed as per need basis. And then as far as the response to this is concerned, obviously it's going to capture some of that thought as well. So yes, I have something to go with, and I guess once we have a draft, then we'll get your further input as well. So should we move on?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, so the next these are in order of these comments are summarized in the order they were received. So the second comment was received by Dusan. Dusan says that he found the guidelines good and comprehensive and had the following comments. So he expects ICANN to help or have active role in guidelines 2 through 9. And only notes basic level of collaboration for CCTLDs at this time. 2 through 9 are guidelines on transition, format of IDN tables, and consistency of IDN tables and practices, I guess most of them, but not the variant labels. So, to have active role for these guidelines, and only notes basic level of collaboration of CCTLD at this time. So he's just making that. Second, a particular comment, DS2 is for guideline number 10, and also more generally, Doosan suggests to explicitly define the use of must in the guidelines, and who is checking such requirements and what are the implications of not following them. The third comment is on guideline 6B, and he suggests instead of encouraged to make it a requirement as a must. 6B is about, let me just very quickly go back there. 6B is about implementing RFC 7940, the NGR format. And then the last of his comments is he says that the value of X for implementation to switch to RFC 7940 format, he suggests a 6-month period should be sufficient. And he's asked how this would work for IDN CCTLDs. So let me stop here.
Thank you. I guess let's go at it one at a time, to one through four. Number one, it seems nothing much. I guess we just take the comment and note it, and probably encourage more CCTLDs to participate. I don't know anything else we need to respond to that. I see no comments. Selma, does that, you think that works?
Seems well, like more of a question. Right. So I guess one could note that, especially in the context of GTLDs, registries and registrars, these guidelines are part of the contractual commitment for them. And we could also note that these are recommended through the fast track process. So there is a role for, I guess, ICANN. He suggests ICANN to help. So there is a role for ICANN through, I guess, the compliance function to review it you know, I guess at least that part can be noted.
Okay. So I guess 2 and 3 seems to be related, and I guess DS2 and 3, and it goes back to we reversed the original approach, which was to use the RFC, must, may, should stuff, and I think for good reason, and response to if I remember it wrong, it was from IAB. So I don't intend for us to go back. I guess we will just respond in saying that we have received the previous comment for it and avoided from it. And as Samad mentioned, for the GTLDs, we're depending on compliance. For CCTLDs, I guess we will probably send this note to the CCTLD fast track process and alert them, the ICANN team, on that. In terms of some of the use of must, especially, I guess, guideline 10 and guideline 6B. Sama, can you remind us what exactly 10 and 6B are? And
so 6B was, right, so in 6 we were asking for all the registries to switch to using RFC 7940 format, LGR format for IDN tables. So 6A was that guideline. 6B was giving exception to those registries for those tables which are already implemented. So basically, in that particular guideline, it's asking, encouraging them to switch to LGR format, but obviously, for the existing tables which are implemented, If they do not switch to LGR format, that is fine as well. 6B grants that exception. If we make it a must, then that exception obviously is not possible.
Got it. I guess, Dennis, you're probably one of the more vocal ones to make sure that we don't force people to move to LGR. Here's a comment that that we received and suggesting that we get all PLDs to move their IDN tables to LGR format. Do you have any thoughts on that in terms of response and any other?
Sure, Edmund. I think as we discussed, there's no really benefit into forcing registries transforming the existing IDN tails which are already implemented to the RFC format. So making a requirement that will put a burden to these registries to transform all these tables. I don't see the value of it.
Okay.
To the extent that it does not improve IDN implementations.
Right. I guess the point is that probably that it's been implemented, and in some ways it's proven that it's not threatening the security of the internet. So there shouldn't be that the kind of urgency to move it along. But I guess that's the main point. Cal?
Yeah, thanks, Edmund. I was going to support Dennis. I think there's no benefit whatsoever in moving an established TLD with published IDN tables to a new format, especially considering that there are likely to be consumers of that TLD who may have already reviewed the table, bearing in mind that 7940 is not human readable at all. So we are taking away people's ability to consume the table other than mechanically. So one could argue that 7940 actually reduces accessibility for the average person while improving potentially software implementations. If an established TLD is already functioning with the human readable format, we're only going to cause them harm and additional labour for no obvious benefit. So I don't support that at all. Completely agree with Dennis.
Okay. Samad, do we have that? That's probably for DS3. DS2 also mentioned the must for guideline 10. We need to go back to that.
Sure. So guideline 10 says that any information fundamental to understanding of a registry's IDN policy that is not published by IANA must be directly available online, including references and orthographic sources. IDN policies, tables, policies and tables are useful for implementers to understand the context of these policies. So I don't really see it is actually already a must. So I think that particular guideline.
Sam was asking us to define the must and probably putting back the RFC stuff there. I guess our general response in terms of that is we thank him, but we point to the IAB comment earlier in the previous draft, and we'll stick to that. Cal?
Thanks. I may have misinterpreted that comment, but I understood it to be a must for the obligations of registrars to communicate the location of those tables to registrants, which would be something either in the registrar agreement or some other sort of side agreement associated with IDN stats. And I don't think that's really within scope, so either I've misunderstood it or it's not in scope of our guidelines anyway.
Thank you, Cal. I have a similar reading as you do, and in terms of who is checking, I guess that's probably a good point, but it's definitely outside of scope. But perhaps it is a registry, and if it becomes a contractual issue, then it will be contractual compliant that would look into it. Not really something that we need to expand on here. Does that make sense to you, Samad, or are we missing something?
Sure. So from what I understood from DS2, Dusan is just asking to explain what must means. And we've already, I guess, talked about that. Changing encourage to must is only asked for 6B. And we've already said that we will probably not support that for the reasons we discussed.
Okay. So I think we're good with 1, 2, 3. Now looking at 4. 6 months. So guideline 6A is, sorry, can you remind us what 6A is?
Yes, we requested for the value of X months from the community, where we said that within X months, this requirement will be applicable, where any new IDN tables or change in IDN tables will have to be done in RFC 7940 or LGR format, which said that it may not be applicable immediately at the time of the guidelines implementation of the guidelines, but actually we will give a X month I guess grace period or time for the registries to react, and Dusan is suggesting 6 months is a reasonable time. By the way, okay. We also have some more input from registry stakeholder group on this value of X and another comment on this value of X as well. So we have multiple other responses on this as well.
Right. So I was just going to bring that up, but I'll let Cal respond first and come back to the X part. Cal?
Thanks, Evan. I'll leave a discussion about the months for now. My only comment was related to where he said how the implementation was going to be checked. I think that might be a misunderstanding of what it is that we are suggesting, because 6 months from the completion of the guidelines, as I understand it, from then on, all newly deployed IDNs must have 7940 format tables. So there's no need to go back and check old tables. It's only that going forward you would only accept the new format insofar as those that are contractually obliged to do so, at least anyway. So maybe that speaks to a misunderstanding or a clarification to the text that we might need to make, or perhaps we can simply reply to Dusan if we feel that the text is already clear about what exactly is changing and is not changing in 6 months.
Thank you, Carl. Yeah, I think we tried as best to be as clear as possible that it's going forward. We can put a marker there at the report when we read it again to see if any changes needed. But that's a good point. We should respond to Dasan saying that it's going forward. And in terms of the GTLDs, that's very simple. I don't think we need to further elaborate on it, but it will through the RCEP, and you know that basically that's what probably is expected at the RCEP from there on. And for CCTLDs, I guess similar, the fast track process will expect the tables to be in those formats from there on. Seems to me pretty straightforward. So let's go back to X months. Samad, you mentioned there are a number of them. What are the suggested X's so far?
Okay, so let me actually scroll through. I know URID RYSG responded to it. So let me jump there. right, so RYSG4 says that on the reasonable timeline to implement guideline 6A on the use of LGR format for IDN tables, the RYSG is of the opinion that consistent with our comment on March 2017 document, which was the earlier version of these guidelines, registry should not be required to implement RFC 790 format to publish IDN tables. Registries who desire to transition to the new format should do it at their discretion. So I guess that's an opinion which is... let's see. Let me also... I can't do a search on this, so let me open my Word document version of this and do a search on it to see if there is if there's a third one on this as well, third comment on this as well.
Is the NCSP having 46 months? Is that relevant to the X that we talked about?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. So it's DS4 and NCSG2. They say 4 to 6 months before implementation to be augmented by technical processing delay required for implementation. It's 4-6-A, so yes. So those are the three versions. 6 months, 4 to 6 months, and obviously RYSC suggesting not to require it.
Okay. Let's punt this until we consider all the RYSC. Obviously, this pertains especially to RYSG. So, I guess for DS4, for the time being, we know the 6 months, but we should clarify to Dasan about that this is going forward and not checking old stuff, and it should work on the RCEP and for CCTLDs on the IDN fast track process. Is that
right? Just to add to that, as RYSG is pointing out, they had actually commented on specifically this during the previous public comment as well, and it was discussed by the IDN guidelines working group, and at that time the guidelines working group had suggested that it was 6A should still be kept as a must. It was changed to include an X month delay to accommodate give some time for registries to make that change. But that was the initial discussion on it.
I recall that. Thank you so much. And I guess that's the reason why I wanted to kind of punt this is I think Matt's and perhaps others were more adamant about this and wanted to make sure he's part of the discussion. So we'll park this and come back when we talk about the ROISG comments.
Okay. All right. So moving on, but before we go there, just one more thing which I actually remembered, which I should have pointed out earlier. Was that there was also some discussion and feedback from the public session at Abu Dhabi, and I've shared the minutes of that as well. So while we are reviewing the guidelines, we may also want to go back and look at the comments we received from the community at that time and clarify or incorporate those as well.
Right, sorry, I missed that one. Yes, and that is organized conveniently, I guess, with in the flow of the guidelines themselves. So, yeah, that's probably a good idea as we go look at the try to finalize the wording for the guidelines. We can take them in sequence.
Right. So for next time, I will actually include those comments in the document as well. So coming back to these comments, the next one is from JG, which is a individual comment. And JG suggests to reserve .home, HOM, and .home domains not available for registration. JG explains that these are used by him in his home network. That's his only comment.
Thank you, Samad. It's neither IDNs nor anything that is in scope, I guess. Unless anyone wants to discuss this, it seems like we thank them and I'm tempted to point them to the names collision stuff, but probably I don't know whether we should just ignore this entirely, but Samad, could we my only question is, could we just note and ignore it, or is that too uncourteous?
Sure, we could, as you suggest, note that this is ASCII related and not in the scope of the guidelines working group. Would that be reasonable?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Any thoughts, others? Seeing none.
I agree.
Let's move to the next. Oh, okay. Thank you, Dennis. Let's move to the next one.
Okay, so the next one is from JPRS. They have, they have a single comment. It's slightly long, but I'll read through this. Try to summarize it as I go. So JPRS notes in the context of guidelines 15 and 16. So let me very quickly jump to guidelines 15 and 16 so that you have the context. So guideline 15 and 16 are about commingling of cross-script code points in a single label, where guideline 15 says that code points in a single label must be taken from the same Unicode script as determined by the Unicode Annex 24, and says exceptions to this guidelines are permissible for languages with established orthographies. And guideline number 16 says that in case of any exceptions made allowing mixing of scripts, visually confusable characters from different scripts must not be allowed to coexist in a single permissible code point, in a single set of permissible code points, unless a corresponding policy of IDN table is clearly defined. So those are the two guidelines in the context of which JPRS is making its comment. So JPRS says that in the context of guidelines 15 and 16, while Japanese characters are technically divided into three scripts, Han, Hiragana, and Katakana, the official language of Japan is only Japanese, and these three ships are not exclusive of each other. For example, registration of .jp domain name is written in written as, and there is a string which has been quoted, which includes Hiragana, Katakana, ASCII, and Han all together in a single label using these scripts. JPRS notes that Japanese characters are treated as one script in Japanese daily life. People in Japan use Han, Hiragana, Katakana, and ASCII characters all together as the person's names, the trademarks, the trademark, trade names, and or words including nouns. So JPRS concludes that these scripts have completely different degrees of risk between commingling Japanese characters versus commingling other scripts that must be used exclusively. Therefore, JPRS recommends that the guidelines should clearly express that the case of any exceptions made allowing mixing of scripts means the case of commingling scripts that are used exclusively. So I guess in summary, JPRS says that those scripts which conventionally mix scripts, the guideline 16, for example, should not be applicable to those scripts.
Thank you, Samad. I think we are in agreement with what JPRS is commenting on. Others, please chime in if you think otherwise. In previous versions of the guidelines, we have often singled out Japanese as an example. I don't remember whether this version we have that, and maybe we did it on purpose, but perhaps in response to this comment, and also, you know, in alignment with previous versions, we should single them out and make it not really single them out, but actually point to them as an example of and that should ease the worry, I guess, from JPRS. They're probably uncomfortable with not being an example, and if we include them back as an example, then that should resolve it. I'm not quite sure what we mean by exclusively and how they've determined that term, but I guess we can make a marker and go back to look at the actual wording, but I would suggest making Japanese as an example. Cal?
Thanks, Edmund. I'm actually struggling to understand JPRS's concerns in this context. I actually thought that 15 and 16 allowed this circumstance, so I understand why they feel perhaps under threat or that perhaps we've somehow limited their ability to meet those guidelines. Or is it that they feel that not all mixed scripts are equal and that therefore we should place greater, there should be some other measure regarding common usage of mixing scripts versus occasional usage of mixing scripts as some kind of guideline. So I guess in summary, I'm not quite sure what the concern is, and I'd like to understand the concern before we respond or make any changes to the guidelines.
Okay. I guess if I read it, my feeling is that JPRS is mainly concerned that, you know, they think that Japanese mixing is not like mixing scripts that are supposed to be exclusive. If I'm trying to interpret that word exclusively, then maybe some of the things that they for example, Greek or Cyrillic should be kind of used exclusively, and not commingle with Latin, for example. And that's sort of where they're coming from. But I'm guessing at this point. So probably a good idea, Cal, as you said, to get some clarification. But I think the reason why they're concerned is that if we make it very generic, then they're worried that they will need to pass a quote-unquote test, especially with ASCII mixing into Han, Hiragana, and Katakana. That might have been the key crux of their concern. But I see Samat's hand up, so perhaps Samat can help us clarify further.
Right. So I think, Edmund, what you're saying is really the right interpretation, again, at least from my understanding. And there is actually some probably background to this. If you all remember, ICANN had published some tables for second level reference tables for some languages. And one of the tables which was published was for Japanese. And what has happened was that Google Registry, for example, had raised a few code points between Hiragana and Katakana, which was similar. Basically what they are concerned here is basically they're saying that Hiragana and Katakana is very regularly mixed, and the similarity issues which are raised with, for script mixing should be raised for scripts which are not conventionally mixed, and Japanese where scripts are conventionally mixed, those kind of issues should not be applicable here.
Right, got it. And in our current guidelines, do we use Japanese as an example, as something that should be allowed?
No, we don't really list any scripts at all.
Okay, so I would put my suggestion there, but we come back when we look at the wording, we can come back to that. I guess I would put my suggestion to include them to in some ways to respond to this and also to give them an ease of mind, and also it would be in keeping with previous versions if I recall them correctly. But on this point, I guess we're already a few minutes over the time. Let's draw a line here. And come back to finalize this response to JPRS in our next meeting. But Samat, do you have enough to kind of draft what we kind of discuss at this point?
Right. So I'll share a summary of what we discussed as notes and start drafting something in terms of responses to these comments are concerned as well. So I'll keep updating you all over email with updated versions, and we can come back to it and start to look at that as well once we've gone through, I guess, the rest of the comments. Thank you.
Sounds good. And we are doing two weekly.
No, we're switched to a weekly schedule actually.
Okay, we do a weekly. I'm fine with the weekly and the. Any others who have problems?
I'm good.
If not, let's go with the weekly. Any other things to raise before we close this call? Seeing none, thank you everyone for your participation. I'll see you online and talk to you in a week's time.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Edwin.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.